Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
The Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. All praises to the Most High God of Israel. Man, I just want to thank the Father for a recovery, man. Oh, my God. I was in under the weather, like, for this last month, bro. I'm telling you, I was under serious attack from this madness in this world. That we was classified as COVID, but I was bugged, right? Like I said, my allergies was out of control. My taste buds was out of control. You know, it was just bugging, man. But it just feels good to be back, having my voice back, being able to get back and get in where I can fit in, you know, because my schedule is fluctuating so tough. So if I can, I'm going to put it in the morning. If I can, I'm going to put it in the evening. But I'm going to get this working, God willing, we live. Once again, welcome to another episode of The Sound of Living Water with Job Israel of Come and See Ministries Bible Study Class, also the Commonwealth of Israel. Today we're dealing with the Monday morning, fruits of the Spirit. And they're proud to be whatever morning of the fruits of the Spirit as long as we can get it in. You know, why are we dealing with the fruits of the Spirit? Because this power, man, God created us with gifts, spiritual gifts, and we refer to them as fruits, right? To obtain these spiritual gifts. You know, like most of us want to get the power of healing and stuff like that. You know, to walk on water and do all these great things, you know, and those things are fine. God will give them to you. But that don't mean you're going to get into the kingdom. You know what I mean? The only way you're going to get into the kingdom is with the nature of God. That's with His likeness. Those of us that's been actually following us, the Sounds of Living Waters breakfast, Sunday morning breakfast, you know that we've been going in on the fruits of the Spirit. I am just going to skim over some of the things just to get those of us that's just tuning in today, you know, and hearing this for the first time, what this morning Fruits of the Spirit is really about, you know, and what it means to us, right? So we're going to touch on those things, but we got to move forward. So this is a recap, okay? So this is a recap. So what I would like, if possible, I know, you know, some of us is at work, beautiful things. Some of us is in different jurisdictions and whatnot. If you could stand to face Jerusalem. And brothers, if you could uncover your heads as we approach the Most High. And sisters, if you can cover your head as we approach them outside. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive me. Give us this day our daily bread. To start over, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brothers and their families. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, but delight in blessing us because they see your light and kindness upon us, Father. Have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their families. And Father, have mercy and send forth your Holy Spirit and give us a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear. And a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in the faith of performance. And Father, have mercy on them, the hearers, and send forth your Holy Spirit upon them as well. And give them too a mind to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear. And a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in the faith of performance. In Jesus' name we pray, for your mercy is endure forever. Amen. 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 So this is, we're dealing with the fruits of the Spirit, you know, and a lot of us like to start in the New Testament. That's wrong, because that's, you missing the foundation, man. I got to tell you, you're missing the foundation and the power of the foundation. You can't build on something if you ain't laid the foundation, so we got to go back to the beginning, right? We got to go back to the beginning, and we got to go there. We got to deal with it there. So, let's get started. Let's go into Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to pick it up at 26, right? Because this is where man is created. And like I said, this is a recap, right? This is a recap. So what we're going to do, we're going to recap things that we've been dealing with and get those of us that haven't been listening but got a chance is listening now, you know, during the week, you know, that they too can get an idea. So we're going to be patient, you know, brothers and sisters. And ain't nothing wrong with us, you know, having to recap, you know, every now and again, you know, just for those to get caught up, because that's a beautiful thing. You want them to know their power and their gifts too. So let's be patient. So we're going to start this in Genesis chapter 1 and 26, and it says this. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Behold, I've given you every herb and seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for me. Now, this is where we're going to stop here. We're going to go back to the top. Before you get to, you know, 31, you got to start here at 26. First of all, it said, God said, let us make man in our image. So let's first look at that, us, right? And his image. Let's pick him up. Let's go into Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah 57 in, if I'm not mistaken, 16. Let's go. 15, if I'm not mistaken. Isaiah 57 and verse 15. Now, this is that image of us. This is what he said. Let us make man in our image. Okay, so here it is. It says this, Isaiah 57 and 15. But thus say the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. So this isn't Isaiah talking. This is the Most High, right? Whose name is holy, as we address as Jesus from Genesis to Revelation. I know other people say different names and this, that, and the other. I'm going to roll what's inside this book. I'm going to roll what's inside the 1611. I'm going to roll what's inside this 1885 version. These two books I publish. Everything else is copywritten off of these two books. I ain't playing with those. The Word of God said it shall be published among men. Well, these books are published. And then he warned us about taking things out and adding things to it. I ain't playing that game. I'm not that confident that the Word of God can be altered by me. Right? Okay. So here it is. Isaiah 57 and 15. Thus say the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in a highly and holy place with him also. Wait a minute. With him. That they are. That's both of them. That's Christ. That's Jesus and the Father. That's Jesus and the Father. That's us. Let us make man in our image too. He said, thus say the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also, that is, of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite ones. Well, this is their spirit. You know, some of us would think the Most High is full of wrath and vengeance and want to come down and bust the heavens open and all this old nonsense, you know. We draw, man, he's just angry, man. He got this mean mug. We got these pictures of him, man. He on fire. He finna blow the planet up. And that's not how he described himself. He said he's a humble and a contrite spirit. And he said the Father is a humble and a contrite spirit, right? To revive those that have a humble and a contrite spirit. So remember now, he said, let us make man in our image. So there go him, there go them, and there go the image of them that's created in his image, right? So they got the same spirit. So in order for us to be created in his image, we first must have the same spirit that he has. So let's look at this thing. What do contrite mean, right? Let's look this word up. You know, because that's what he said, a contrite and humble spirit. So what do contrite mean? You know, so many times, man, we take words for granted. You know, we just read through it and think we got understanding, you know, and we miss the power of it. You know, we really do. Contrite. Feeling regret or sorrows for one's sin or offenses and penitence. So, it's in God to have mercy on us because of our sins. That's what he's talking about. He have penitence for our sins. He feels sorry for our sins because he know there's none that doeth good and sinneth not. Our thing is to stay away from willful sins. You know, man, I'm going to knock this dude's wife off, you know what I mean? Or the wife going to run off with another dude. That's not what he's talking about. You can't sit up and say, oh, God, I made a mistake. You know, I got weak. You know, you can't say that because you have to make plans to do it. You have to come together of a place, but you can't, because you can't do it in the house unless he's gone. And you have to physically undress yourself before the Spirit. And that's something you're not trying to do. You're not trying to address yourself before the Holy Spirit, which you still with, to grieve him, and you're not trying to undress yourself before them who's high and holy. You ain't trying to undress yourself before them, and you're not trying to undress yourself before the devils who's going to accuse you for your actions before them. But if we don't fear God, then we are going to do these things. So he's telling us, right? He says, feeling regret or sorrow for one's sins or penitence, arising from expression of contrition, full of guilt, regret, remorseful, arising from sense of shame or guilt. So if you sin against God, you know, like you've done something, like, you know, say for instance, the Lord tell you that a man that's filled because he's hungry, you know, he won't pay, but if you're not caught, you know, he may get away with that because he was hungry, right? That's, I mean, he's saving his life. But if he pay, he got to pay seven times back, you know. Or if he pay and he get busted and somebody, you know, off him or take him off the planet, that's between them and God. That person that did it will not be held accountable. But this is that thing. You got three conversations when it comes to a thief. Say you lie. You know, you lied to get something that belonged to you. Ask Isaac, right? He's merciful. Not lying to hurt somebody or to bring somebody in a subjection to folly, but, you know, hey, you're trying to save your life, you know. Those things, you know, we got to be careful of those things. And then he's talking about, you know, we do things like that. And he's talking about our past sins, too. He's talking about before we came into the knowledge of God. That's another thing. If you didn't know any better, these things are called sins on the ignorance. If you know better, then there's and called presumptuous sins or willful. Now, if you are repentant, this is that thing. Let's read this. Let's finish reading it, then we're going to look at the spirit. It says, full of guilt or regret, remorseful, arising from a sense of shame and guilt, causing by or showing sincere remorse. You really sorry for what happened. You know, like King David, you know, he was really sorry for what happened. Filled with a sense of guilt and desire for an atonement or penance. Now, not only was David sincerely sorry for what he done and offended the Most High, now the Most High is going to make an atonement for him because he felt that, right? He still paid for it. He paid for it. That child, Bathsheba, got born, had brought into this world, died. Why? Because he was a bastard. She was married. So that wasn't his, that was a bastard. So it had to die because it wasn't going to inherit the kingdom anyway. So the Lord took him off the planet. And he had his wife slept with. Then he had his son commit the same sin that he committed, and he paid for it. All right. So he paid for it. You know, he didn't get away with it. That was a high crime. Look, committing adultery is up there with blaspheming the Holy Ghost. You see, that's up there with that. I mean, adultery is higher than murder. Believe it or not, you got to look at that because Abraham said this. He said, he told Sarah, he said, tell him you my sister. You stay kill you me and save you alive. Right? But if they just wanted to take her, they would have just took her. They didn't care whether or not if he was married, but they knew that if she was a married woman, that the only way they could have her is that she become a widow. They understood the law, even the heathen. So adultery is higher than murder. And then when the king took Abraham's wife, he said, man, what did I do to you for you to put me in this situation, dude? Because the Lord said, man, look, I'm going to kill you and everything that belongs in your house if you don't return that man his wife. And he said this. He said, I've done this to the integrity of my heart. I didn't know she was married. He said, I know you did, but I saved you from sinning against me. He talked to him in his dream and told him he was dead. He said, you are but a dead man. And we got sisters that play with that spirit. And that's why the Lord called them hunters. They call them adulterers, hunters. They hunt for life because they know they're killing people, and they don't care. They don't care. That's a whole nother conversation. Not to get off, but I'm just saying, this contrite spirit is a thing, man. David had repentance, and the Lord had mercy for him, and he atoned, as we see here, causing or by showing sincere remorse, filled with the sense of guilt and desire for an atonement, and the desire for atonement, desire, that is to ask God to have mercy, to ask God to forgive you. You see, repentance, right? Okay. Remorseful, rueful. Oh, that's where Ruth came from. I did that. I didn't know that. I didn't know that contrite was a word for Ruth. You know, that's David's grandmama name, Ruth. And so it means contrite, repentance, repentance, sorry, humble, chaste, sorrowful, repentance, remorseful, regretful, repentance, conscience stricken, in sackcloth and ashes. Let's look at that. Let's look at, like I said, let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Matthew's, right? Matthew's chapter 5, and it says this. And seeing the multitude, he went up into a high mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. So I keep trying to point people out to these things. Listen, he's not talking to the world. The world is there. He said the multitude is over there. He went to another, to a high mountain, like he is in heaven right now. He's in a high mountain. Seeing he was set next to the Father, his disciples came to him. So now the disciples, his followers, not the multitude, his disciples, the apostles, the disciples, the watchmen, those people, sisters, prophetesses, and so forth, they came to him because he had Mary Magdalene, both Marys and so forth, so they're in this conversation. He said, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, not the multitude, them, saying, blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. See? There go that contrite spirit. That'll get you into the kingdom. If you got this spirit, that's the nature of God. You got to have these things. You got to have this spirit in you. You can't be just out here thinking you're going to be flipped at the mouth, you know, or you think you're going to just be able to let somebody have it because you feel in some kind of way, or you've been wrongly mistreated. I mean, you got every reason to let somebody have it. But you chose not to. You chose to eat crow, right? So that's that conversation. That's this conversation, right? Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. They mourning because they mourning for their sins, not the world. Well, they mourning for the world's too. But for the most part, they mourning for themselves. This is that contrite spirit. They are mourning for the nature that's in them. You see, listen at this. This is David, Psalms 6:1. It says, have mercy upon me, God, O Lord, for I am weak. See, he's mourning. He's mourning. He's telling the Lord. And this is what God desires, because right here, this is where he feel you at. This is where he come in at to bring you out of this thing. Too many times we wait until we in our deathbed or we sick like the flu or some nonsense. And then that's when we want to come to the Lord. No, man, he said to examine yourself. You know, he says to examine yourself. You know, and this is why we need to examine ourselves. And it says this. When you examine yourself, if you really believe in God, you know that he's the Holy One of Israel, and you exactly what the word said. In all your righteousness, all our righteousness, we are nothing but a filthy rag, a menstrual cloth that a woman used and discarded at our best, right? So it says this, have mercy upon me, God. Oh, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. See, he's not talking about anybody. He's talking about, man, save me. Me, I'm weak. And he said, for in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave we shall give thee thanks. I am weary of my groaning. All night I make my bed swim. I water my couch in tears. This is how you approach God, man. This is what he's talking about. This is his likeness. This is the contrite spirit that we got to have. We got to ask ourselves, when's the last time we approached God with tears, man? When's the last time we asked the Lord to have mercy on us? Because we know that we need mercy. We know we need mercy. I mean, I know I need mercy, so I can't even talk for you. If you don't need mercy, God bless you. I know I do. So I understand this thing about how he said, I water my couch with tears, you know. He said, my eyes is consumed because of grief. It is waxing old because of my enemy. And then he said, depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord have heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. That's what we just got to read in Isaiah chapter 57 and 15 to revive the humble and the contrite one. David humbled himself, and the Lord heard him. This is that thing. Right? Okay. And he was what? He was mourning. Amen. Yeah, I'm going to read this. Isaiah 66 and 10. And it says this. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad with her. That's the strangers in the nation, right? All you that love her, rejoice for her. It said, rejoice for joy with her. All you that mourn for her. He said, now he's telling the strangers to mourn for Jerusalem. Now he's telling them to have a contrite heart for the people and God, that ye may suck and be satisfied with the breath of her consolation, that ye may milk out and be delighted with abundance of her glory. See, that's how you end up with the gifts of God. That's how you end up with his nature, that you actually address strangers. That's you. I ain't talking about the Israelites. I'm talking about those that attach themselves to Israel. That's how you approach God. You love his people. And if you see his people going through something, you feel that for his people, man. And, you know, you pick up on that, man. You, like Cat Williams made a joke about it, but it's a real conversation. He said, man, you know, you be in jail, man. He said, no. He said, first you better have you at least one white friend. He said, you better have one white friend. What do you mean? He said, you call your brother, your sister, you in jail, they be like, what you doing there? What you want me to do? You call a white person, man, they go, what? Well, what's going on? Why did they lock you up? Where are you? I'm on my way right now. And they get pissed because you locked up. That's that love. That's that thing, you know. And we always want to be dogging white people out, man, but we forget about the abolitionists, man. They saved Harriet Tubman and them brothers and sisters out of that shackle play, that hard bondage, man. They going to get in the kingdom, Jack. Because they love the people. They mourn for the people. They didn't want to see the people going through that. Jim Jones, man, that abolitionist that went and started killing people, he mourned for the people and started killing his own brothers and sisters because they were wicked in this shackle slavery thing. That man may see the kingdom too because he was zealous for the people of God. You know. God knows, man, if I'm judging and I see Jim Jones pop up, I may let him pop through the kingdom. I may let him get in the kingdom. I ain't even lie to you. He gave his life for us. His children's lives. His future for us. So if I'm sitting on the throne, I'm not saying Jesus' judgment isn't perfect. But I can't see anything otherwise than that man getting in there because his works testify that. They tried to dog him out They said he had two wives and so forth like that. Well, you can miss me with that one. Anyway, let's move around. Let's go back. So we see that God is a humble and a contrite spirit. Well, this cup is... marked by meekness and modesty and behavior, attitude, spirit, not arrogant or prideful. So that's what humble is. That's what humble is. It said, the God of Israel is humble. He's not, he don't have pride. He's marked by meekness. Ain't that what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, the meek is going to inherit the earth? He said, marked by meekness and modesty. That's that thing, man. You guys, you know, if you're in front of a modest woman, if she got to dress up her ass, you know, all the way up here, you can see all of her business. That's not modest. You finna run into a trap. That's a trap. All right, that's for your life. But if she modest and got all clothes down her legs, then there's a possibility that she may be a modest sort of soul, right? You know, or a modest man. You know, he a humble dude, you know, just meek and humble. You know, like Brother had put up this piece, man, earlier that brought me back in the remembrance, man, that, you know, people think that, you know, I got to hire me a thug, something with some heart in it. Okay. Got to give you that because not everybody is made for a humble in a spirit like this. Not all women is cut out for this. You know. So, no, you will not get that man. You won't see that man. You see, so that's that thing. And then brothers, you know, they want that thug female that got the big patonk and want to be wearing the dukes and looking juicy and all that. He gonna give you that, but you gonna miss this meek and humble soul. You gonna miss that, Jack. You gonna, then when the end come around, you gonna realize that virtuous spirit is one that you really should be searching for in a wife. And guess what? You shouldn't even be looking for it. Why? Because you can't find her. She come with prayer, and she got to come with the kind of prayer that God want to hear from you, this kind of, you know, that contrite and humble thing. Isaac was praying for Rebecca, Jack. And he got the goods with Rebecca. He got the goods with Rebecca. Not only was Rebecca able to interpret dreams, but the Lord blessed her with two different nations with kings out of both of them. And he gave her the plan of the king of kings and what to do when it was to the time of the Reformation that the student shall become the tutor. That is to say, when Jacob was supposed to receive his blessings, she was on time with him. Rebecca was, I love me for Sarah, but Rebecca was the businessman. I'm telling you, she the business. Anyway, let me read on. It says, marked by meekness or modesty in behavior, attitude, or spirit, not arrogant, prideful, showing differential or submissive to respect, unpretentious, right? To cause to feel humble, conscious of one's failings. See, conscious of one's failings. That's that thing. That's the conscious stricken repentance. Unpretentious, lowly. So some of us, we pretend we love God. You know what I'm saying? Because we could tell men all day long, you know, I love God. I love God, man. I love God. I love God. And be out here doing everything that you possibly can to get cut off by him. Lying to the people. And then this is the thing. What we don't realize is that we put a stumbling block before the blind because we got the people thinking one way and we exact opposite of that. That's why when somebody keep telling me that I'm this and I'm that, that's red flags to me, because you trying to create an image in my mind of you that's not there, that I'm supposed to see without you telling me. If you got to tell me, then that's a smoke screen for what's really there. Modest, right? So this is Sarah, because the book says she was modest. So that meant that she wasn't proud or arrogant. No wonder she could call Abraham Lord, because she didn't have, that wasn't in, this was in her. She was a humble woman. Low in importance, status, and condition. She understood that her husband was the head. That's why she called him Lord, right? This is why we call our king Lord, and we know our position. And we can't be pretentious to him, because he said he knows. He tried to reign. He knows what's inside of us. Courtesy, respectful, submissive, inferior, of course, to the Most High God, never insignificant, to lower in condition, importance, or dignity, abase, mortify, to destroy the independence or the will of, he said, destroy the will of independence. So you got this spirit that's growing among the women to be independent. I don't need no man. And now you turn into women. Careful what you ask for. That shit ain't help. It ain't help to be with no woman, you know, but we fronting that like it is. You know, I don't need a man. And then you raising up your children in this confusion, you know. Every day they go to the washroom, they look at themselves, and they see themselves for what they are, but then they look at you and say, well, why? What's going on here in this picture, right? Exactly. It says, but that's good. It just says the humble, you know, it says mortify, you know, to cause to feel shame, hurt the pride, and abase. It just talk about, you know, being low in a station of quality, modest, and understanding that, right? So that's what humble means. That's why he said, I'm the contrite and humble spirit. And that's what he's telling us we got to have. That's his image, not his likeness. That's his image, people. It's the difference in image and likeness. Image is the spirit. Likeness is the image. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. Okay, like, and pick it up. We're going to pick it up at 26. And 1 and 26. And it says this, it says, and God said, let us, that we go in Isaiah 57, found out who this us is, a contrite and humble spirit. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Now, first let's look up the word image. Amen. Let's look up the word image. But this is the first thing he said. Then he said likeness. So, like I said, image is the spirit. So, everything in the law is written out before it was created. Everything from heaven to the angels to the lake of fire to cloud to water, the air, the insects, all the different fish, everything was written out before it was created. So this is why we have the word image now. It was written out before it was created. So image. A representation of the form of a person or object as a painting or a photograph. So this is the physical part, but this is not what, the likeness is the physical part, but this is dealing with it. Because remember, I'm reading a dictionary that's written by man. But this is what it really comes down to. Opinion or concept of something that is held by the public. So So he said this. He gave us the spirit that we'll be able to have an opinion. That's free will. In order to have an opinion, that means you have to have free will. In order for you to have an opinion, that means you have the spirit. You have to have the spirit of judgment. So he's telling us that he gave us the spirit of judgment like him. That's why he said the righteous is going to sit in judgment. The righteous is going to sit in judgment. They're going to sit in judgment. It says this. It says, let me see, a vivid description, presentation in words. So now we're getting, he said, we're going to have we're going to be able to formulate words with a description, like him, like he telling us, you know, he called it in from the beginning, and then explain all of it, and then describe it. Then he gave us the exact same spirit. This is the image, because once we read his thoughts, then we draw an image of what he's talking about. You know how many times we've seen pictures of people drawing New Jerusalem coming down? You know how many pictures we've seen of people trying to draw the Christ and the Father? You know, that Michelangelo nonsense with them in heaven, butt naked man. Y'all missed that one. That's some homo stuff. For real. That's it. He gave us the idea of conceiving images in our mind. That's spirit, people. Spirit. When people is talking, this is why, you know, I grew up listening to the radio, so I don't have a problem listening to the radio now. You know, I listen to the radio more than I watch television, because the radio is words, and they have to articulate the situation. Like somebody watching a baseball game versus looking at a baseball game. Someone listening at a football game versus watching a football game, they had to articulate the image. Well, that's what he said. He gave us the spirit of that we'd be able to articulate images in our mind. That's before us. He didn't put that in us. That was written before he created us, because likeness didn't come until after this. So this is all spirit. And you got to remember what he said in John. He said, in the beginning was the Word. So this is the spirit, the Word. The Word is spirit. Jesus said, the Word is spirit and it's life, right? A vivid description or representation in words. Case in point. He gave us the capacity of drawing vivid descriptions of things. Mathematics. He gave us mathematics. Now people will say that I got to draw for this here. Image. Mathematics come from image. Are you kidding me? Yes. You know why? Because mathematics are the ultimate truth. 1 + 1 = 2. That lets me know that there's a truth that was in the world. So that this Big Bang thing is a lie, because 1 + 1 = 2. That's a truth that can't be denied. That's a truth that can't be altered. That's 100% truth. That lets me know there has to be a 100% lie or wrong. So that brings judgment. If there's a 100% truth that has to be a 100% wrong, then that brings judgment of what's true. So that lets me know that when God created the cosmos and the heavens and the earth, he did it with math. Why? Because that's the truth. It can't be altered. That's why the clock is going to always start at 12. That's why you always going to have 12 months. That's time. And people would sit up here and say, there's no God. Well, hey, man, I say this then. How did you come up with numbers? Well, numbers was actually, no, numbers is truth. Numbers are truth. That's 100% absolute truth. In order for it not to be true, then that means it can be altered. Numbers cannot be altered. No matter what. You can hide some things as an accountant in the books, but if somebody go behind you and do them books, you're going to get caught every time because the numbers going to snitch on you. They cannot lie. So how do you come up with an absolute truth from an accident? See, that's my Big Bang smasher. You know, that's my Big Bang theory, that Darwin, that evolution theory, that this man want to say that we created ourselves. Whatever. Anyway, it says this. In mathematics, man, a set of values or functions corresponding to a particular subject of a domain. That's everything around us. Everything around us. People want to say the earth is flat. I can't agree with that because I'm surrounded in time. That's 360. I'm surrounded north, south, east, and west through time. If the earth was flat, then there would be a time warp. There would be a time warp. You would feel it of a warp, but you don't because we are surrounded in a 360 molecule. We are surrounded in a 360 word. That's why we always going to have winter and summer. Summer is going to leave. Winter is going to come around. Summer is going to come around. Summer is going to leave. Winter is going to come back. Summer is going to come back. Winter is going to leave. And so it goes around and around and around. That's not flat. Then they say, you know, the earth is flat. Then how come the sun don't just go straight? Why do it get dark? Because when we look at the sun, it actually sets if some of us from the Pacific see the sun set, they don't see it just go straight out. They actually see it sets on the horizon. And those of us on the east see it rise up. They don't see it coming through the sky. They see it rise up. Why? Because it's been around the world. Well, it got dark in the States and it got lit in Jerusalem. You know, thanks to my brother Peter. Man, it's 8 o'clock tonight. It's dark. I'm talking to him. It's broad daylight now where I'm at, and it's dark where he at. Case in point. You're on the opposite sides of the world. The earth is not flat. If it was flat and circular, then the sun would always, it would never be darkness because the sun is just going around the top of the plate. Case in point. If the earth was flat, then the sun would just keep going and never come back. You wouldn't have seasons. So I'm just saying these are little basic principles that the little basic things that'll make us think. So this is in mathematics. That's all up under mathematics. You know, because he said this, even the seasons are created in mathematics. Why? He told Nebuchadnezzar, I'ma drive you mad for seven seasons. Seven seasons. He gave him seven seasons. What is that? It's only winter and summer when it comes to the Bible. So seven seasons, right? Winter and summer. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's 3.5 years. Case in point. Pay attention to that. In mathematics, in domain, that's here, where we at, that's the universe, that's the sun doing its thing, so forth, right? Computer, in an exact replica and contents and storage of device, that's right. It says, to make a visual representation, let's see. Okay. Right. Okay. Here it is. A picture in the mind. Imagine. So when he created us in the image of him, He created us with an imagination. Not only, see, we get caught up on the physical side, the image. No, the physical side is likeness. The spiritual side is image. So here come imagination. See, you can't see what I'm imagining. That's spiritual. God can, because he's spirit. He can. He can read our thoughts, right? But you can. You can only see what I produce. You can't see what I'm imagining. So let's look at this word, imagination. It says this, the ability to form mental images of things that are not present to the senses or not considered to be real, right? So these are called visions. So when the Lord created us in his image, he gave us an imagination that we would be able to see visions. Are we listening? Are we listening? These are gifts that God gave us out the gate. These are gifts that he gave us to grow in. The formation of images. One of these mental images, I'm just saying, the mind's view. Imagination, the faculty or action of producing ideas, especially mental images of what is not present or has not been experienced. So he is telling us we're going to have visions. He's telling us when he created us in his image, through imagination, he gave us the spirit of prophecy. Are we listening? Are we listening? Are we paying attention to the things that belong to God? Are we listening? Are we just walking around here all high and mighty and, you know, I don't need to hear that. I'm good, you know. I don't, that sister this and that brother that. God bless you. You know, the book tell you cast not your pearls before swines anyway, so you may not receive it anyhow. So it's not for everybody to know. But if you hearing this, it's for you to know and you to receive it. Not everybody's going to receive it because people are going to be full of their pride. And you know how God feel about those in their pride, right? The faculty or actions of producing ideas, especially mental images of what is not present or what has not been experienced. Mental creativity, mental creative ability. That's prophecy. That's seeing the future. It says this, that has not been experienced. That's the prophets telling, that's Daniel saying, there's going to be a stone coming out of heaven and it's going to destroy the image. It's going to hit it on the feet. I saw four beasts come out of the earth, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. He didn't live through all that. He saw that. That's here. That's why he had this gift. He had the gift of imagination. It says mental creativity, creative ability, the ability to deal resourcefully, unexpectedly, and unusual problems and circumstances. It said romantic, right? So this is where your emotions come from, to want to be down with your girl or your husband. You imagine yourself being in love. You imagine yourself being in sex. You imagine yourself having sex. So he's telling us through this image, he gave us sexual desires. Really? Really? He said, wait a minute. Excuse me. He said, let us create man in our image. Wait a minute. He gave us sexual desires, right? All right. Let's look at that. Let's go to, he said his image, right? Okay, well, let's go to Ezekiel 16. Let's see if God got these things on him. Okay, Ezekiel 16:1. Watch this. again, the word of the Lord came on to me saying, now this is Ezekiel talking, and the Lord was dealing with Ezekiel. He said, Son of man, calls Jerusalem to know her abomination. So he calls Jerusalem a woman. So now he's speaking to Ezekiel in his imagination or vision, right? This is how he's talking to Ezekiel right now through a vision. He's dealing with him through a spirit, through the spirit, right? Because he gave us this when he created us in his image. That's up on the image. And he said, cause her to know her abomination. Now, my imagination is taking me to know that he's talking about a Jerusalem as a woman. And he says this, verse 16, and say, thus saith the Lord unto Jerusalem, this woman. He said, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite and thy mother was a Hittite. Yeah, we came out of the land of Ur, right? Ask Abraham. And it said, as for thy nativity, in the day that thou was born, thy navel was not cut, neither was thou washed. Well, now we see that's a good thing because you're not supposed to cut the umbilical cord from a woman. From what I understand now is that the woman's umbilical cord is supposed to stay attached to the child until it falls off. Who knew? Right. Who knew? I didn't, but I guess he said that navel was not cut. It says, neither was thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou was not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. So he said, you the salt of the earth. But here, we wasn't the salt. We were just something. Right. None I pity thee to do any of these things unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou was cast out into the open field for the loading of thy person in the day that thou was born. This is in Egypt. Okay, this is when we was born. As he said, let go of my firstborn. This is Egypt, verse 5 he's referring to. And he said this in verse 16, when I passed by thee, I saw thee polluted in thine own blood, and I saw thee when I was in thy blood live. And I said, when I was in thy blood, live. This is us in the wilderness. He said, and I will cause thee to multiply as the buds of the field. Thou hast increased and waxen great. Thou art become an excellent ornament. Thy breast is fashioned, and thy hair is grown, whereas thou was naked and bare. So, the Lord is telling us that a well set of hair is attractive to a man, right? And so is them ties. They're attracted to men's too. You know, the breasts. That's why women get their breasts altered, right? And this is why men love breasts, you know. However the breasts look, you know, a man is going to be like, if them girls is poking out, that man is going to take a look. You say whatever you want to say. If they jumping, he don't look. What you doing looking at her breasts? Because God created me to look at them, and it's not my fault. I'm not lusting. It's just in me. You know, or you with your guys, man, that's a nice rag. Case in point, right? You ain't trying to holler, but they out there, you see them, and you're like, man, you know. But when we was in our land, those things wasn't out there, so you can't be holding us accountable. You know, if a woman is out there half naked, then that man is, by nature, is going to look at her and draw a mental image. Same thing when he's not looking, you're going to see something that you're attracted to. So stop with the madness and stop running. You know, but no, we can't be wicked out here and be lusting after everything in the world, you know. But sometimes you're going to get distracted because it's out here like that. Anyway, it says, I caused thee to multiply as the birds of the field. Thou hast increased and waxing great. Thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, thy hair is grown, whereas thou was naked and bare. So first thing women want to do is make sure they got on some really good looking clothes, right? For attraction, and they're going to put on some hair if they ain't got none. That's why we got these hair shops prospering in our communities, right? Now when I passed by thee, I looked upon thee, and behold, that time was come for of the time of love. Uh-oh, we about to do the nasty. This is this conversation. He said, now when I passed by thee, I looked upon thee, thy time was come, thy time was the time of love. I spread my skirt over thee, I covered thy nakedness, yea, swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant, saith the Lord, and thou becamest mine. See? So when he created the image in us of romance, we just seen that it was in him first. Or else it wouldn't exist. If it's not in existence, it wouldn't exist. It don't exist. Romance, sex, intercourse come from God. And people will sit up there and say, well, see, you're only supposed to have intercourse if you're trying to have a baby. Not according to Sarah. Not when God was talking to her. Let's go to Genesis. Y'all better stop that lie. Genesis chapter 18. Any man that tells you, see, we're only supposed to have sex when we're trying to have, man, you better stop lying and stop teaching that lie. It says this. It says, Genesis 8, and I'm going to get right to the point. The Lord, Melchizedek, met Abraham again in Genesis 18 and 1, and he's finna bless tell Abraham they finna have Isaac, right? And Sarah was in the tent, ear hustling. Listen. And they said unto him, where's Sarah, thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. Well, he knew that. But this is for our reading, so women will know not to be in the midst of men. Your man, your husband, have friends over. You're not supposed to be sitting in the middle of them because wickedness can come up. Right. Wickedness can come up. You know, somebody can say the wrong thing around her. Someone can look at her the wrong way, or she can look at him the wrong way. And missed messages become real situations. So, he's showing us that a modest woman wouldn't be in the midst of men. And why wouldn't she be here? Look at this. You see, this is God and two angels, and she ain't in the middle of them? Nope. So, no flesh and blood ain't got a chance for her to be sitting in the middle of. You know, because guys would be looking at your wife wrong. So anyway, it says this. He said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. So she was ear hustling. She was sitting there listening at them talk. Now, Abraham and Sarah was old and well-stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. She stopped having periods. She stopped making eggs, right? Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself. She didn't laugh out loud. She laughed in her heart, saying, after I am waxing old, should I have pleasure of mine? Should I have pleasure of my Lord being old? Pleasure? This let me know she still have a clitoris. So the Lord created that clitoris on a woman for pleasure. So that she can have pleasure with sex. This is that thing. So look, this is that. This is what we aren't paying attention to. You want to sit up. Pleasure, that's not saying that, you know, they didn't have any children. Don't think Abraham wasn't knocking that around trying to get all the babies he can out of it. It just didn't happen. And she said, and I said, I have pleasure in my husband, whatever. Abraham must have got old. And, you know, when you get old, you get used to your woman and everything. All of a sudden, you stop hitting it like you used to. You know, it don't mean you don't love her any less, you know. It's just that, you know, the libido may slow down. It may. Well, in this 21st century, in the world that we live in, I can make excuses by all the preservatives and the impurities that we take in within our bodies, right, that'll slow a man's libido down. And a woman... period down that she won't have sexual desires toward her husband. So we could say both. But here, we see that they was well stricken. Why? Because Abraham at this point was like 98 and Sarah was 97 or Sarah was, yeah. And so Sarah was 27. That must be 19. No. When did he circumcise everybody? Yes, Sarah was 90. Abraham was 99. And Sarah was what? Let's see. Abraham was 99, so he was old. And Sarah was... Sarah was 90 years old. So Abraham was 9 years older than his wife, you know, which is a good look because, you know, he could teach her some things, right? He could teach her some things, God willing. So we see this and we see that this is taking place, right? So now we see that that sexual desire thing is there. We see Sarah have a sexual desire to her husband, you know, because he created it when he created image. She was in the tent imagining having intercourse with her husband to have babies. She said, should I have pleasure? That was when he created us in his image. Remember now, that's the whole point of us even looking at this. Not to sit up here and look at the fact that women is going to be sexual or, you know, has erotic emotions like men, but that this is when he created erotic emotions in the beginning when he created us in his image, right? Okay, so let's go back to image. It says, right, we was in the imagination. It says, the formation of mental images of something that is not perceived as real, then as not present to the sense. Popular imagination create a world of demons. Imagination reveals what the world could be. So, it's just having visions. Also, what's created in imagination, judgment, you can imagine or create a lie, right? You can create a lie. You can create this image of a lie. So, yeah, that's there too. He gave us the gift of lying because there has to be a judgment. So if there has to be a judgment, there has to be a right and wrong, even in the image that he created us in. Amen. So it says, this is why we got, some of us are artistic, you know. Not everybody got the same gift. Some of us had a gift of prophecy. Some of us had a gift of spirit. Some of us are artistic people. We can draw with our hands or create images and clothes or paint. You know, we can paint cars, we can design cars, we can design planes and houses, and we can create homes and, you know, we call them dressers and whatnot now, you know what I mean, or fashion designers or some type of designer, whatever the genre is. But this has come from creativity, creativeness. This is where this comes from. A fictionist place, imaginary place, mystical place. A place that exists only in imagination, right? A place said to be exists official or religious writings, right? So this is where he come in with the word. That's when the prophets start getting a vision, and they write down everything that they have in themselves. Right? This is that thing. So it says fantasy, dreams. So dreams come from imagination too. Why? Because God said he talked to us through the dream. That's a portal, right? So let's look at that. Let's go into Job chapter 33, I think it is. Job 33, and it says this. Job 33 and 14, it says, for God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth not. So he's talking to us however he's approaching us, whether it be through a man or a woman. He said, but we ain't getting it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon man and slumbering upon the bed, he openeth up the ears of man and filleth their instructions. That's how he talked to us, through imagination or dreams. He give us vision that we'll be able to see him, understand him, you know, or warn us, right? Warn us. It says, what do you mean? That he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man, right? And it says this, it says, to keep his soul back from the pit and his life from passing by the sword. There it is. He's warning. He would deal with us in visions to warn us. Amen? So to warn us from whatever's going to come to pass on the planet. So, or in our community, whatever he's going to bring, he's speaking to us through that to warn us about those things. Amen? So he speaks to us in a dream. Like Jacob had the dream. Wait a minute, here go one for you. This, I ain't even talking about Jacob. Here go one for you. Revelation chapter 4, right? Because Jacob saw the ladder, right? He was dreaming. He woke up. He woke up. He said, man, surely this is the door gate. This is the gate of God. You know, because he saw the angels descending, going out. And he said, now watch this. This is Revelation 4. He said, after this I look, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and a voice which I heard was as the first one, the trumpet talking unto me, and he said, come up hither, and he showed these things must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, see? And one sat on the throne with his father. We're not getting into the story, but we see, because he created us in his image, he talked to us in visions and in dreams. Ezekiel chapter 1. In verse 3, it says this, the word of the Lord came especially unto Ezekiel, the priest, he was a Levite, the son of Buzi, in the land of Chaldeans, by the river of Shebar, and oh, yeah, I need to read one. It says, now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month. This is the middle of the week of 11. It says, in the fifth day of the month, that would have been after the wave offering. If the week had beginning at the top of the week, it would have been the wave offering here. He said, I was among the captives by the river of Shebar, that the heavens was open, and I saw visions of God. They were the imagination. Once again, if you don't give us the imagination, we don't have visions. If you don't give us the imagination, we don't have dreams. He can't talk to us because we don't have dreams. And that's sad. That's sad. When I hear people that don't have dreams, I think that is so sad. People say, I don't dream. I'd be like, oh, my God. Then I said, then you must have something else then. You know, you got to have something else if you don't dream. And I don't want to be judgmental of someone that don't have dreams, but that's really hard for me. Because I understand this is how God deals with people. Right? So, So he's dealing with us through dreams and visions. So we see that comes through imagination too, right? So what else here? It says fantasy, dreaming dreams, right? It says imaginative thoughts of indulged while awake. We call that daydreaming. Ezekiel called it vision. Imaginary beings, imaginary creatures, you know, imagination. The ability to form mental images, things, or events. That's that. The ability to form mental images, things, and events. That's to say, you actually had a foresight to see ahead. Mind's eye. The image of resembling the inventive scenes, so I can see it. I can see her clearly in my mind's eye. So you can have a vision. Some call it the mind's eye, but it's vision. Some call it the third eye. You know, okay. Some call it a pineal gland. That's where he deal with us. That's what they say, that the fluoride is interrupting us that and all that other type of madness. If God got a vision for you, you can eat a whole case of fluoride. You still don't get it. Case in point. Dreaming, a series of mental images and emotions occurring during sleep. So, when he created us in his image, he gave us emotions. Really? Well, I guess so. We just read romance. Romance is an emotion. So through images, let's look up this word emotion. So through images now, we see emotions is created, right? So let's look at that. Emotions. It says compulsions as a mirror in which one looks for will see his inner self endeavoring, we're gonna leave it right there. See, you can see yourself doing something. Like, for instance, you can see yourself committing suicide, or you can see yourself rich, or you can see yourself meeting the president of the United States, or you can see yourself, you know, dying. You know, you can see yourself, or you can see somebody else. Prophecy or vision or beginning or end, you know. This is called emotion. Anxiety, cheerfulness, dejection, envy, gloom, grief, happiness, hate, lonely, love, sadness, tension, awareness. So that when he created us with imagination, he put this other spirit in there called emotions, which generate anxiety, right? Anxiety is the state of uneasiness, apprehension about the future, uncertainties. Ain't that something? Once again, we're dealing with prophecy. Amen? So, cheerfulness. These are emotions now, he said. Cheerfulness, being characterized by good spirit, merry, glad. That's why he said glad. That's why he told Mary that Elizabeth was going to be glad to see her. She's going to be cheerful to see her. Brightness, happiness, smiles, you know. So these are all gifts from God, not madness and anxiety and stress, you know, but gladness and, you know, things like that. Okay. Love. Well, let's look at happiness first. Showing or marked by affection. You know why after jump season, you'd be like, man. Exactly. Excuse my street terms when it comes to some of these things, you know. You just have to accept the fact that some of these is small. It's where I was born. And I was raised. And no, yes, sometimes I could be articulate, you know. But a lot of times I like to be just plain and direct. And so, yeah, you happy after you just got the rumping in the bourgeois. Okay, how about enjoying a show marked by pleasure, satisfaction, or joy? Well, it's that, right? It's a point. Fortunate. Kidding me? Fortune come from that? Prophecy. Okay. Once again, good idea about imagination. These things, right? Visions, creativity, visions, inventions, right? Ingenuity, genius come from imagination. Genius. So when he created us in his image, he created us with genius or ingenuity. Enterprise, that is to say we're able to create businesses or enterprises. Insight, we got insight on certain things, whether it be a business, the world, or spiritual. Inspiration, you've been inspired by God to create this business or write this lesson about the Lord. Wit, smart, intelligence, you know, come through imagination. Originality. You know, Michael Jackson was original. You know, Marvin Gaye was original. Fred Sanford was original. Fred Fox was original. That's why they became, that's why they were paid very well, because they were original. Facebook is an original thing, even though we can see that it started from a social media. Inventiveness, you'll be able to invent things, you know, like the wheel, the car, boat, plane. Resourcefulness, you'll be able to, you'll be resourceful. You have options, right? You create options for yourself. Interest, attention, curiosity, fascination. All that's up under imagination or image. You know, I'm just going to leave some of these things for, you know, for us to study, right? I can't just walk you through all of this, but just, you know, to give you an idea that image is a lot bigger than just, you know, image, right? So let's go back to the scripture. Go back to that Genesis, right, chapter 1 and 26. And let's read that again. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Well, let's look up this word likeness. Now, remember I said likeness is the more physical side of this conversation. That's why he created image first, because that's the spirit. When he gave us life, all that was breathed into him. Likeness. The state of, say, a portrait copy. The state or fact of being like or similar. Well, we got that on the image, right? Resemblance or appearance of something. Similarity in appearance or character or nature between person or thing, man created in God and God in his own likeness. A likeness, similar to, similarity. Comparable, compare, comparisons, equivalence, mirror, image, reflections, reflection, nature, naturalist, resemblance, splitting image, ironclad, picture, icon, image, portrait, portrayal, resemblance, similarity, correspondence, affinity, similitude, portrait, study, picture, model, image, photograph, copy, counterpart, representation, reproduction, replica, you see appearance, similar. So you see these are more physical. Although, just like you had hints of the spirit, in case we didn't understand what likeness or image was, then we'll see it in likeness that we had a nature or the comparison or the correspondence. You know, we see that there's a spiritual attribute there, hopefully. That's, you know, that we investigate such things. So, hey, man, look, we're pushing up on the clock, and we're going to leave it here, right? So, God willing, we live. I would like to continue this evening in your spirit, right? If not, then we'll tomorrow evening. But we're going to try our best, try to have, if I can't do it at 7, I just have to do it earlier, you know, for reason thereof. But, like I said, we're going to try our best to do these things so that people can get this here, fruits of the spirit. And we got to be conscious of the evil spirits that's within us. Amen. So, with that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time, and we hope we edify someone. And as we say here at the Sound of the Living Waters, reach your vipers.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.